Well, today's gospel reading is certainly appropriate for the feast of St. John Vianney, because the Curé of Ars, as he is known, because he had a remarkable life. He was by no means the smartest seminarian in his class. In fact, might have been close to rock bottom. He was by no means the most athletic and handsome of the people around him. Probably close to rock bottom. But he had a remarkable gift. And his remarkable gift was really threefold. The first is he felt a real call to go out and to share with people the good news of salvation and to call them to repentance. He did. I mean, it was a twofold message. It wasn't just repent, you brood of vipers. It was really a message of there's good news out there. There is hope out there. Remember, of course, you know, he's just living in the age where secularism is beginning to gain a great deal of force. And not just secularism, but he's living in an age where, you know, spiritualism is sort of coming on like gangbusters, and this spiritualism has a very profound demonic element to it. So I mean, it's really almost an age of decadence. And John Vianney, this very simple guy, this not very articulate guy, this very kind of, you know, nobody, you know, is going to look twice at him guy, this non-special guy, has this gift of just proclaiming the good news, proclaiming that it's in Jesus Christ, and not in any of this kind of spiritualism, not in any of this sort of, you know, secularism, what you might call a new age secularism for that age, right? That essentially he's coming onto the fore, calling people through the good news to come back to Jesus Christ and to repent. And as a result of this very effective call that he had, I mean, nobody really, I mean, it's got to be the Holy Spirit, right? I mean, he just wasn't, you know, Superman. He just wasn't, you know, the kind of guy you go, boy, you know, I want to follow that guy. You'd look at him and go, that guy's kind of strange. But people were riveted to him. There was a holiness about him, and his holiness is what attracted them to him. And that led to his second really big ministry, right? And that was confessions. I mean, he was a great confessor. And frequently enough, would spend 10 hours in the confessional per day. I mean, so people not only were attracted to him, but that call to repentance was very much like Padre Pio. That call to repentance manifested itself in the Sacrament of Reconciliation. And he was literally overwhelmed. And he went from place to place, by the way, in order to do this. He just was a real opponent, as it were, to the devil, to spiritual evil, in this cause of being in the confessional, as a priest. The third area that that was very key to him was really a ministry of exorcism. You know, he called people away from all of this spiritualism, Ouija boards, you know, kind of demonic kinds of stuff that, you know, these very, you know, not just the wealthy people, but, you know, people in the towns and villages were getting involved in. And, of course, he was tormented by, the devil. I mean, just tormented at night. The devil would literally just shake his bed, you know, all night long, and he didn't care. You know, he would just sort of wave off the devil, give him, you know, exercise the room he was in, go to sleep, you know, with the shaking bed, think nothing of it, and go out and exercise people the next day. For all intents and purposes, he was just a holy, holy riveted to God, simple man. And his holiness was so evident to everybody. He was like a Pied Piper, except not a Pied Piper. He was a genuine article. And of course, he proved it in the confessional. He proved it in this ministry of exorcisms, you know, that in a sense being a light in an overly demonic and secularized European world, and at the end of the day caused incredible good, a real breakthrough of the kingdom of God, a breakthrough back to Jesus Christ in a church and in a world that was really kind of troubled in this new age of autonomy and secularism. Not unlike the age that we experience in so many ways today, but an example to follow. We don't have to be, you know, Mr. Articulate or Mrs. Articulate, right? We don't have to be the brains of the Western world. We don't have to be, you know, people who are, you know, extraordinarily talented, beautiful, whatever. All we need to be is holy and just hardworking in the vineyard of the Lord, and the blessings will come a billion times told lovelier, as in the life of St. John Vianney. Amen.